And now, Understanding the Times with Jan Markell, the program committed to helping you contend for the faith and view current events through the lens of the Bible. Here's Jan Markell.
Thank you for joining me in this busy time of year. This is the program committed to helping you understand the times, contend for the faith, and become watchmen on the wall. We are continuing hour one just for a few more minutes, then I'm going to be changing topics. And my friend John McTernan is the one who's sort of made many aware of a paper produced by Major Brian Stuckert, U.S. Army, School of Advanced Military Studies, United States Army Command and General Staff College, Fort Leavenworth, Kansas, approved for public release. I believe on John's site, I'll clarify in a moment, there would be a phone number to call as well. And basically, they are saying that those who hold to a certain eschatological theology, premillennial dispensationalism, that would be taught primarily, the popular names known would be Hal Lindsey, Tim LaHaye, Chuck Missler, Grant Jeffrey. Those kinds of folks have been pushing this for a lot of years. John Walvoord, now deceased, sort of, well, he was kind of the grandfather of this back in the 20th century. Passed away recently. So I just want to continue another, 15 minutes or so, then we'll be changing topics. And John McTernan, here's another quote I want you to address. It says, this is part of the paper from put out by this position paper in the military. Quote, due to the influence of premillennialism, there is a great distrust of Russia. Thank goodness on the part of the U.S. The belief in a deterministic view or near-term events that make Russian military aggression inevitable understandably obliviates any incentive for cooperation or partnership. This has contributed to a persistent distance and suspicion that permeates the relationship between the two powers. And then it closes, because of this, it will prove difficult, if not impossible, for the U.S. relationship with Russia to evolve into one of constructive cooperation. Page 54.
Jan, how can someone be an officer in the United States Army and write that? I mean, any knowledge of history, we've had the czars now, 1,000 years of Russian history going back has been just one tyrant after another after another. Then we get the horrible things the Russians did to, well, the pogroms, but then starting in the late 1880s with the Jewish people, of course it had taken place before that, and continuing right up, and when Stalin died, he died literally, it was called the Doctors' Revolt, I think, and he claimed Jewish doctors were trying to overthrow Russia, and he was going to exterminate the Jews. That's going back. We got Stalin, we've got the Cold War, we have got everything Russia did, and even to today, with Georgia, when the Russians attacked Georgia, the militarism of things that the Russians have wrote and Putin being KGB, ask the Ukrainians about the Russians, ask Latvia, the Latvians, the Estonians about Russia, and yet when you read that quote, now, we are like the bad guys. It's like the Russians are Boy Scouts.
That's right.
And see, we'd have a good relationship with Russia, except for those crazy premillennialists that have so warped America that we cannot see that the Russians are really nice guys and that we can have a real good cooperation with them and real good treaties and real good friendships, except for us. I mean, this is childish. This is... again, and I will say this over and over again, every quote that you made, how could a war college run by PhDs allow this to go through and be published?
Twisted minds, twisted brains.
That's what I'm saying. You could only agree with this. If you are the department head, or you're sitting on someone's presenting a thesis for a advanced degree, they have to defend it. They have to defend this statement. Everything in that thesis has to be defended. Didn't anybody challenge this? Didn't anybody say, where did you get this from? from?
Yeah, that's a good question. Didn't anybody challenge
this? Didn't anybody challenge
it? There probably were a few, but they clearly were not taken seriously. Let me read this paragraph, get your response. Knowing that premillennialists are an important source of political power in the U.S., the Israeli government has begun to refer to the West Bank with biblical terms such as Judea and Samaria. For many American Christians, any policy that calls for Israel to return any land is dangerous for Israel and contrary to the Bible, page 147 and 148. And then they go on to say, these people, meaning you and me, John McTernan, these people oppose land for peace and promotion of Palestine. Well, Mr. War College people, land for peace doesn't work. It leaves Israel in pieces. Israel has tried for years to make the roadmap work. It is not a workable situation.
Well, Jan, you're absolutely right. And I wrote my book, As America's Done to Israel,
yeah.
I have page after page, as America has tried to force Israel to divide the land, what has happened to the disasters on that same day that have happened to America. Now, here's the thing in this, Jan. Let's put our biblical beliefs just to the side for a second. In recent times, Israel pulled back out of southern Lebanon, correct?
Mm-hmm.
What happened?
Disaster.
Hezbollah took over. And Hezbollah is armed with 30, 40, 50,000 rockets. They've built all these bunker systems and pillboxes and all. They have made southern Lebanon literally one big war camp. Israel unilaterally pulled back and said to Lebanon, okay, here. Israel didn't get any benefit out of this. Israel unilaterally pulled out of Gaza, correct?
Right.
What happened? Hamas took over. And almost immediately, Hamas was elected, by the way, by the Palestinian people. Almost immediately, they began to shell Israel and rocket Israel, and the Israeli city of Sderot had to be abandoned.
Mm-hmm.
By it. And for years, how many years did they shell? I think it was recorded about 8,000 missiles were sent into Israel from Gaza. So Israel has already unilaterally, after the 67-day war, where Israel was not the aggressor in that war, didn't Israel give the Sinai to Egypt?
Yes, and they gave away the Temple Mount in
to Jordan. And they pulled back from areas of the Golan Heights.
Mm-hmm.
So Israel is not a beast in this. Israel is not a warmonger. Every time Israel does something to advance what the world thinks is peace or give land up, it's used for Hamas and it's used for Hezbollah to prepare for war against Israel. So the thinking of this colonel, of this major, and the thinking of this war school is not clear. They are the ones that filter through world events and history for their perverted view of everything, I guess.
We see
clearly they don't.
John, they don't like the Bible. Here's the thing. They are criticizing the fact that some of us, premillennial dispensationalists and others, are referring to parts of Israel as Judea and Samaria. That is what the Bible calls parts of Israel. So, folks, you who are objecting to all of this in the military, would you take it up with God?
Yeah.
He is the one who has called these areas Judea and Samaria, not John McTernan and I. But
well,
we agree with it.
The Bible calls, Gaza, Gaza, too. So, maybe that's not right. Calling Gaza Zephaniah, the prophet Zephaniah refers to that area as Gaza. And so maybe we shouldn't call Gaza, Gaza, because it's connected to the Bible. Jan, I this is a very important point, and I would like to get this out for your listeners. Our belief system, I started to tell you this earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Our belief system was not put together 5 years ago or 10 years ago. It wasn't put together by Hal Lindsey and the late great Planet Earth 40 years ago. Our system, you could go back into the 1800s, and it was sort of brought to light by an evangelist called Blackstone, who wrote a book, Jesus is Coming. And then the teacher, C.I. Schofield, and his Bible and the notes kind of put together, solidified our view. And our view is the Jews are coming back to the land and Israel is going to be a nation. Well, that was before it happened, right?
That's right.
And our view is there's going to be a one-world government that's going to encompass the world. Well, we can see that material or the attempts to do that right. The Copenhagen, they admitted that this, and they openly admitted that this was one of the goals, was world governance through this.
That's right, they did.
Russia merging with, the Bible says Persia, which is modern-day Iran. Well, Russia is a world power, no matter how you cut it. I mean, it's got military, it's got a navy and a ocean-going navy, and it's got intercontinental ballistic missiles and an air force, and certainly in Europe, it's the major power. So there it is, and our system is coming together. Our beliefs are coming together prophetically, right before your very eyes. And this paper couldn't have been written unless these events were happening. You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
So this paper is actually kind of like highlighting our prophetic beliefs and how they're happening right before your very eyes. And they just don't believe it. That this whole paper is an attack on the belief in the Bible that's being played out on the world stage right now.
As we speak.
They will not acknowledge it, so they're attacking us then and saying, see, world peace would break out except for us, because they do not want to believe the prophetic word of God. This isn't a fight that we picked with the United States Army. This is a fight the United States Army War College picked with us.
Premillennialism will likely push U.S. defense policy in the wrong direction for years to come, page 55. John, down to a minute. If you want to summarize, please do so.
Well, Jan, I think this is exciting. I really do. I don't run to a corner and hide. I think this is a time for us to hold the light of God's word as high and bright as possible. I mean, it was an amazing thing to read a document by the United States Army talking about the second coming, the literal second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, about the Battle of Armageddon, about Ezekiel 38, and that being Russia and Persia and the rebirth of the nation of Israel. I mean, it was mind-boggling to see this in a military document, but God uses every way, Jan, to get the warning out. And I believe that this document and what the Army did is going to bring to the forefront our prophetic beliefs for everybody, for the preterist, for the Dominion Now theology people, for the replacement theology, for the Muslims, for the atheists, the hard left. Right now, this is our prophetic beliefs are being brought to the forefront, which I'm excited. They'll have no excuse for not believing.
Again, you can contact John McTernan and learn more. He has a link to this document, John McTernan's insights.blogspot.com.
Yeah, they can get my book there too, Jan.
Yes. We carried that book for a long, long time.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, as America has done to Israel. God bless you, my friend. Thank you for uncovering this and exposing it and getting it circulated, and I know more are going to pick up.
Well, Jan, I'm going to keep this on my blog as I updated, and probably this weekend I'm going to update what I found about the commanding officer there, the PhD ahead of this program.
Okay.
His atheist connection, because this is more. I'm beginning to view this now, Jan, as somewhat of a religious war, and I tell you why.
Mm-hmm.
This man is a militant atheist. He's ahead of this program, and I could never imagine this being written about Jewish people like this.
Yeah.
I couldn't be written by Muslims like this. So this, I'm beginning to see this atheistic, at least him as an atheist, a hardcore atheist, because he belongs to this military atheist society.
Yeah.
As a religious war now.
But he's influencing a lot of people.
Yes, he is. It says he's influenced thousands of officers. Mm-hmm. This man, I think, has to be challenged now.
Well, you have done so, and we'll hope more happens here in the coming months and years. Thank you, John.
Okay.
Bye-bye now.
And God uses always, Jan, to get to promote his word and the prophetic word. It's just amazing. He'll even use army and atheists to do it.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, God bless
Thanks.
You, and God bless your listeners.
Thank you. Now, bye-bye.
Okay, bye now.
Well, there you have it. We're going to transition here into something that's a little more on the uplifting side. And again, I am thankful that John McTernan, through his blog and other things that he does, is committed to exposing the inconvenient truth. Now, you know, I like to, as often as possible, to present some good and hopeful news and information and report on today on what I want to do in the next few minutes that we have is report on a ministry that is winning the lost in a very unique way. Very, very unique way. Duana Litz began her evangelism table outreach in 02 and as an extension back then of John MacArthur's Grace Community Church in California, it has now grown literally in places around the world. Duana goes to places many others dare not tread upon. She is bold enough to tackle New Agers, occultists, and even some of the Jews in Israel with her witnessing opportunities, challenging all with free gospel materials. She gives a defense of the faith and meets people right where they are. And even though she began with one table in California, God has blessed her ministry, her table outreach ministry. She now has outreach efforts in, and we're going to zero in on a couple of these locations, Venice Beach, California, West Hollywood, Long Beach, California, Boulder, Colorado, Gatlinburg, Tennessee, New York City, the Philippines, Israel, in the old Jerusalem and Tel Aviv, Virginia. In other words, what began in 02 and people said you're going to fail has absolutely mushroomed. And more important than that, what are the results of a woman who, of course, she's not alone. She's got a bunch of volunteers in all of these areas that are having a table with Bibles, tracts, all sorts of literature that's given out, books given out to people who are searching, who are lost, and they hear the gospel for the first time. Duana, are you with me?
Yes, I am, Jan. Great to be with you.
Yeah, you know, why don't you take a couple of minutes here to give us your testimony and how you kind of ended up doing this, and we do need it in maybe less than 5 minutes.
Sure. You know, Jan, as I was listening to your former guest, I was so encouraged that world affairs are in God's hands and not ours. And, you know, and this God that controls all these world affairs is my God. And then as I heard you speaking about this ministry, I also was so touched because I'm not worthy that he, such a God, would live in me and much less work in my life to the extent that he stripped me of everything that I thought I needed to be happy, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And I grew up singing in churches. I was saved at age 5, and I thought that I would become a star, which is really laughable at this point. I moved to Nashville, and I wrote songs, and I sang with production deals, worked with top producers. And it was like God just kept that from happening because he was pruning me through that period, teaching me through a lot of pain, really, what it meant to die and live for him, die to what the world thinks of me and live for him and love him more than I loved my talent and all my dreams. So, just with no one seeing but God, I said, okay, Lord, well, I'll be a success if I can live for you. And I can tell someone about you, and would you please bring somebody my way that I can tell about you, and then I'll be happy. And he would do that, and nobody saw but God. So when he moved me out to California, I say he, because the Holy Spirit put in my heart to go out there to go to John MacArthur's church, and I just started seeing myself. I had been seeing myself as a missionary, and really we're all called to tell others about Jesus and live for him. And this story just shows that if he can use me, he can use anybody. This is not about me. He has totally surprised me. I didn't know what in the world he would do with me because all I wanted to do was sing, and he gave me a lot of talent. But anyway, when I trusted him and didn't know what he would do, he had a big plan for my life. And I just thank him every day for all that he has yet to do.
Well, some back in 2002 said, look, you're never going to make it. And by the world, Duane is connected to a lot of churches, so she's not just out there on her own. And with all these tables she has around the world, she has all sorts of volunteer help to man them because she's not omnipresent. She can't
right.
be everywhere at once.
I wish I could be.
I know.
But I'm not, yeah.
I know. So, you know, you've got this table outreach. This is, I'm not so sure people understand what a table outreach. Give us a few seconds. What's a table outreach?
Oh, sure. What I was really interested in apologetics, and so I started accumulating articles and things to give, certain witnessing materials to give specifically to certain people like atheists or Mormons or Jehovah's Witness and Buddhists. And so I accumulated all this. So when I was walking along Venice Beach,
yeah.
California, and I saw this smorgasbord of all these religions, everything under the sun, psychics everywhere, I couldn't believe I was in America and immediately had this idea. Tell you the truth, I got tears in my eyes. It just seemed like such an exciting idea. And I said, God, would you show me how to reach them? This is really my neighborhood. I lived in Santa Monica. And I thought I could get a table. And instead of all these people had tables, they call them booths. The psychics have a table. You come and you sit with a psychic and they read your palm. Well, I thought instead of telling them what, you know, the tarot cards, we're going to tell them what the Bible says.
Mm-hmm.
So we got a sign that says, come find out what God has to say about your future for free. And then we would give them verses to talk about the depravity of people apart from Jesus. And then we give them the good news of Jesus. And that's how this began. And on the table, they have free material, Bibles, tracts in different languages, articles to meet people right where they are. Our prayer is to give people answers. If they're doing yoga meditations, we want to explain that.
Mm-hmm.
Someone came up once and said, I believe in Jesus, and he was into all this occult spirituality. And I said, really? Which one? And he looked so
yeah.
you know, surprised. He goes, which one? I said, yeah, didn't you know there's more than one? And I read him in the Bible where, you know, there's more than one Jesus in 2 Corinthians 11:4. And so I had a list. A list of different cults and what they teach about Jesus and all the different Jesuses, so to speak, and all these different religions. And he looked at that list and he was so, it was just a great moment. I enjoy this work so much. And he goes, huh, I never knew there was more than one. So we really try to make people, we want to reach them right where they are in love.
All right. Now, Venice Beach is a bit of a challenge and nobody knows that better than you do because, it's the home to a lot of fringy things. And I think you said that a man approached your table at Venice Beach and he asked you, what does God have to say about my future? I offered him a chair and he sat down to listen to Bible verse after Bible verse about
yes.
what God has to say about people apart from Christ. Then I gave him the verses of salvation. You invited him to church and what happened?
He came to church. He accepted. I said, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 6:2, today is the day of salvation. Would you accept this gift now? And he said, yes. And I said, and this was great because, you know, in all those hard hearts out there and all
mm-hmm.
these psychics and people into Satanism, I hardly ever got to lead somebody to the Lord. And, of course, salvation is God's work and not man's. But I trust that this man wanted Jesus. So I said, okay, well, repeat after me. And I just led him in a prayer, asking Jesus to be a Savior, confessing his sin. And I said, so I'll see you at church tomorrow. He came to church. He developed a relationship with my pastor. In my presence, he called his daughter and he said, I've become a Christian.
Mm-hmm. Now, one psychic came up to your table. I'm sure many psychics have at Venice Beach. And actually, you'd been there for a full 2 years, but this psychic seemed embarrassed, you say, and she asked for prayer for her husband. I find this interesting that a psychic would ask for prayer. Actually, that's good news. And she
uh-huh.
said, I will take a Bible too. And you say this is a big deal because most psychics, they just stay away from your table not to mention the Bible.
You know what, Jan, another fun, yes. And this story makes me think of another one. One time I sat up and they started assigning us places. And this one psychic said, I can't work next to her. I don't work as well.
Okay.
Isn't that something? Yeah. I love it. It was so much fun. Venice Beach is a dirty place. The air is blue with profanity. And it's the kind of place, if I had children, I wouldn't even want my children there. So, but from a mission standpoint, it was absolutely thrilling. And our team is still out there having all the fun without me, but
all
I hope
right,
to get back for a visit.
It sounds like your team and you, you're not afraid. You're very bold. You ask, I guess you ask permission of these people if you can talk to them about the gospel?
Yes, we give them, we started out giving, offering them free food. And they were so sure that we would talk to them about Jesus, whether they wanted to hear about him or not. So we just offered them the free food. And then they would see that the same people who offered them food have a Christian table. And this was definitely an anomaly at Venice Beach.
Mm-hmm.
And so in time, they knew we loved them. And they came up and they'd sit with us if they wanted. And they would, one man even came and with tears in his eyes, actually a grown man in his 40s, he said, I think God spoke to me last night, but I'm not sure. And the God had a female voice, and I was able to tell Edward, no, this was a demon. So in time, I earned their trust, but I just had to just love them and wait on God to do it, you know.
Duana Litz is a missionary, and she does have some church support, so she's not out there totally on her own. And she has outreach tables. If mm-hmm. you've joined us late, we need to give your website to, hold on, and the website is www.lightingthewayworldwide.org. Lightingthewayworldwide.org. Mm-hmm. I'll give a P.O. box too a little bit later. And although she started with one table in California, it has now branched as a table ministry. West Hollywood, Long Beach, Boulder, Colorado, Tennessee, New York City, the Philippines, Israel, Virginia. We need to find out a little bit about what God is doing both in New York City, the Philippines, and most certainly Israel with your table outreach. And we are going to do that when we come back from the other side of a break. And, you know, also, you need to tell us if the new hate crime law has hampered you at all. We can do that when we come back from a break. So if you'd remember to address that hate crime issue, because people like you are in the spotlight of the hate crime laws mm-hmm. because you're saying things that aren't politically correct.
Right.
Now, folks, again... we encourage you to become a CD subscriber to Understanding the Times Radio, which you're listening to. I'm Jan Markell, your host. And for $25 a month, you will get two CDs a week of everything we do on Understanding the Times Radio. It is tax deductible, and we have been consulting with accountants and all as to just how to do that to make it tax deductible. So if you'd like to get the real beauty of it is you can pass these radio CDs on to others who need to have a little dose of the inconvenient truth, which is what we specialize here on Understanding the Times Radio. Now might be a time, or Monday through Friday, to go and sign up with a phone call or to the website, Olive Tree Views, Views as in Viewpoint, olivetreeviews.org. And you can, well, that's the best way to contact me for one thing, but I want to highlight that our programming goes up on my website, olivetreeviews.org. The live weekend programming goes up on my website late Sunday, olivetreeviews.org, and go to Radio Archives. We are live out of Minneapolis, St. Paul, AM 980 KKMS, Saturday 9 to 10, 9 to 11 Central Time, Sunday 12 noon p.m. Central Time. You can always listen live at KKMS.com, Understanding the Times Radio. I'm Jan Markell, your host, back in a couple of minutes.
A reminder to radio archive listeners and podcasters that the Understanding the Times radio show is totally listener-supported. We air on several radio stations, which allows us to bring our programming to you. Would you consider a tax-deductible donation to Olive Tree Ministries for the radio outreach? You can send a check to Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. You can also donate and order safely online at olivetreeviews.org or call 763-493-3010. And thanks for partnering with this ministry committed to helping you understand the times and contend for the faith.
Welcome back to Jan Markell's Understanding the Times. Here's Jan Markell.
Okay, welcome to part two of this hour. Just let me quickly say that you can always order a single CD. You don't have to become a CD subscriber. If a program hits you in a certain way and you want to pass it on, call my office at 763-493-3010, 763-493-3010. Many are becoming CD subscribers at $25 a month, two CDs a week. And here's our box number. If you just don't want to get on the phone or internet, you can always write us directly, Olive Tree Ministries, and that is Box 1452, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's a suburb of Minneapolis. Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. I want to get back to Duana Litz because our time is limited. You can learn a lot more at www.lightingthewayworldwide.org. I'll give a box number for her, too. Duana, when we went into the break, I wanted to ask you, how do hate crime, the new hate crimes legislation, how does that affect you?
Okay. In West Hollywood, we've got a very bold team, and they have practiced, literally rehearsed, how to not get charged with a hate crime. Even here in America, we have to be careful about the way we put things. If you tell someone that they're lost and that homosexuality is a sin and that they're going to hell apart from salvation, that could actually be
right.
Viewed as a hate crime.
Right.
So what we do is two things. One, we have a table alongside other tables, literally, Jan, between the homosexual youth selling condoms and then another table testing for AIDS. There's our table. It's called A Heart for Him. And we've got testimony after testimony of people that have struggled with same gender attractions and all, and they've come to Jesus. All right. So we let the people approach us.
Okay.
We don't ever bring someone over. We don't ever hand them things, whether they want it or not, hand them resources. And that is very important. And then also we ask permission. We say, is it okay with you if I tell you what the Bible says in conversation and in love? Nobody's yelling. Nobody's got a bugle horn. So this has helped.
No sandwich boards.
I'm sorry?
No sandwich boards.
Right, right. We really just want to have conversations.
Yeah.
And we realize that salvation is God's work. So even the people that he brings over is his doing. And we can trust him to do that.
Okay, now, we are in a generation right now of what's called easy believism.
Right.
And that is a lot of churches and leaders are preaching gospel light. And so, and then there's no follow-up on the so-called decisions that may be made in a church.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any form of follow-up to see if these people are getting into a church?
Well, we talk to people, get this from all over the world, truly, because we set up in places where a lot of tourists come. And I believe that, like I said, we know salvation is God's work. So God uses us. And it's whether we plant seeds or, I mean, salvation is his work. So we can trust that if he's got his hand on someone and he's going to save them, then he's going to work out their salvation. We cannot do everything.
Right.
So we do refer them to churches. Mm-hmm. as you so aptly said, we work with churches in every location.
Mm-hmm.
And I have, pastors on my board and the board of reference and all, and we're supported by a couple of churches and mainly through individuals. But, we really do work with churches, and we want to see people. We often do, as God would have it, see them again, and we get to follow up with them. But oftentimes we're just planting seeds. We're giving somebody a Bible, and we're telling them how to be saved. In the districts, especially when we witness to people that are struggling with homosexuality, we have to talk to them about the character of God. God is pure. The Holy Spirit is called holy because he's holy. We cannot come to him unless we repent of the sin and are willing to leave our sin and worship God in spirit and in truth. We don't want any easy believism, taught from any of our outreach locations. At the same time, we know that it's a salvation based on faith and grace and not works. But God honors, God is pure. We cannot come to him unless we want to be pure too.
Now, talk to us about your outreach, your table outreach in Israel. I believe it's both in Tel Aviv and Jerusalem.
Yes, so exciting. I went to Israel in 2008 twice, and God provided the funds for this to do this mission work. A few people told me, you could get put in jail. It's, evangelism is against the law in Israel. Well, I talked to my friends in Israel who are doing this, and they said, well, that's not really true. You can't proselytize someone under the age of 18. But even that is subjective because Christian tourism is the number one source of income in Israel.
That's right.
So everybody's talking about Jesus, you know. So we were able to set up a table outside the New Gate in Old Jerusalem. And a husband and wife, Rami and Yvette, lead this table outreach,
mm-hmm.
and they are saved. They used to be, all their family is Muslim. They're totally ostracized from their family, and the Lord is bringing up people. When I was over there working with them, I could not get over how hungry the people are over there for the Bibles and for the gospel. A lot of Catholics are very open too.
Well, I think that table is reaching some prostitutes, is it not?
Yeah, that's in Tel Aviv.
And yeah, in Tel Aviv, yeah, right.
It's amazing. In Tel Aviv, they set up a table and they feed, in this brothel district. And, these are the prostitutes and addicts and free Bibles in Hebrew and Russian and, we love the Jews, and we have to be very careful because there's a lot of, I love the Jews, but there's prejudice against the Christians proselytizing from amongst the Orthodox Jews.
Right.
So we want to be real sensitive and discreet. But God is honoring our efforts, and many people in Tel Aviv have gotten off the street, gone to rehab, and they have freedom over there that we don't have in America. They can actually tell them about Jesus in the rehab center, get them in a Bible study, and believe it or not, the addicts come back and work with the team on the other side of the table to witness in this
folks, field. If this is a ministry, are you 501c3?
Yes.
Yeah, if this is a ministry you'd like to get involved in, here, let me give contact information one more time. That's www.lightingthewayworldwide.org. Here's the P.O. Box number. It's Box 18957, Box 18957, Atlanta, Georgia, 31126. Box 18957, Atlanta, Georgia, 31126. Dwayne, wind down here with a summary of your outreach in Brighton and Pickering, UK, because here you're coming up against pagan beliefs that are being challenged at your table, and I know this is not an easy outreach here.
Yeah, here again we partner with two churches, and the pastors are humble enough to get out there at the table outreaches and do the evangelism. And so we send them materials, like if we've got materials they don't have for reaching Catholics in Pickering in North Yorkshire. This is they reach recusant Catholics, and
yeah, but there are some pagans, aren't you?
Oh, absolutely, and a lot of Buddhists and a lot of New Agers, especially in Brighton. Homosexuality, anything goes down there. So we partner with resources, and you know, I've been over there and had the privilege of doing the table outreach with them, and it's just people. God has grown this now to the point where people find out about it. I've done no marketing and I've done no soliciting for funds. Sometimes people say, "Oh, I want to start a ministry. How would you suggest I go about raising money?" I've never raised any money. It's all happened through word of mouth.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's really been amazing, and we just started something in the Philippines. We hope to expand to Canada and Mexico in 2010, and we do this when God, we're not in debt. We do this when God provides. So I can hardly keep up with all these doing.
I'm sure that's true as one single woman. Mm-hmm. LightingTheWayWorldwide.org, and again, it's box 18957, Atlanta, Georgia, 31126. And I just want to say that I personally and Olive Tree Ministries 100% behind Dwayna Litz, Dwayna Litz, Litz. She's been doing this for now since 2002. They said it would fail, and mm-hmm. it's done anything but fail. Dwayna, thank you for bringing us up to date on some good news for a change.
Thank you so much, Jan.
All right, God bless. We'll talk to you again.
Okay.
I wanted to end today with some comments by Corrie Ten Boom, because quite frankly, one of the primary communications, email, other ways, you know, is what on earth can Christians do to make a difference in a world that's falling apart? And Corrie Ten Boom sums it up so beautifully. It was written by Corrie, 1974. And she says this: "You know what? If I can get through this without breaking down, it'll be the eighth wonder of the world." She says, "The world is deathly ill. It is dying. The great physician has already signed the death certificate. There is still a great work for Christians to do. They are to be streams of living water, channels of mercy to those who are still in the world. It is possible for them to do this because they are overcomers. Christians are ambassadors of Christ. They are representatives from heaven to this dying world, and because of our presence here, things will change. My sister Betsy and I were in the Nazi concentration camp at Ravensbrück because we committed the crime of loving Jews. 700 of us from Holland, France, Russia, Poland, Belgium were herded into a room built for 200. As far as I knew, Betsy and I were the only two representatives of heaven in that room. We may have been the Lord's only representatives in that place of hatred, yet because of our presence there, things changed. Jesus said, 'In the world you will have tribulation. Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world.' We too are to be overcomers, bringing the light of Jesus into a world filled with darkness and hate. Sometimes I get frightened as I read the Bible and as I look in this world and see all of the trials and difficulties promised by the Bible coming true. Now, I can tell you, though, if you too are afraid, that I have just read the last pages. I can now come shouting hallelujah, for I have found where it is written that Jesus said, 'He that overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son.' This is the future and hope of this world, not that the world will survive, but that we shall be overcomers in the midst of a dying world. Betsy and I in the concentration camp prayed that God would heal Betsy, who was so weak and sick. 'Yes, the Lord will heal me,' Betsy said with confidence. She died the next day, and I could not understand it. They laid her thin body on a concrete floor along with all other corpses of the women who died that day. It was hard for me to understand, to believe that God had a purpose for all that. Yet because of Betsy's death, today I am traveling all over the world telling people about Jesus. For 76 years, I have known the Lord Jesus, and not once has he ever left me or let me down. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him, for I know that to all who overcome, he shall give the crown of life. Hallelujah. Corrie ten Boom, written in 1974. Basically what she's saying, because so many of you say, I can't do anything to change this world. Well, that I don't know if that's true or not, but we are still commanded to be salt and light, just as Corrie was, even under the most harsh, circumstances as any concentration camp could possibly be. And now she is able to say, hallelujah. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him, for I know that to all who overcome, he shall give the crown of life. Our citizenship is not here, friends. Our citizenship is in heaven. I want to quote here in closing. Bill Koenig sends out his very, very informative Koenig's Eye View from the White House every end of week. And he sent this out yesterday. It has a little bit to do with, we've been observing Copenhagen here very recently. Believe it is now history, and I'm not so sure much was accomplished. We'll be covering this much more in, in about 2 weeks. Koenig says this, and he's very right. The communist one world order, that's the so-called global warming summit in Copenhagen, seems to be promoting, as evidenced by Andrew Bolt of Australia's Herald Sun. Bolt wrote that Venezuela's communist dictator, Hugo Chavez, at Copenhagen Global Warming Summit, Bolt reports, quote, when he said there was a silent and terrible ghost in the room and that the ghost was called capitalism, the applause was deafening. When he said down with imperial dictatorships, he got a rousing round of applause. Bolt further reports that, quote, after quoting everyone from Karl Marx to Jesus Christ, when Hugo Chavez, said, our revolution seeks to help all people. Socialism, the other ghost that is probably wandering around this room, that's the way to save the planet. Capitalism is the road to hell. Let's fight against capitalism and make it obey us. He won a standing ovation. The unfounded and false doctrine of man-made global warming is about wealth redistribution and communism. The response of the attendees, of these so-called scientists and environmentalists, have proven this. Bolt reports, nothing was real in Copenhagen, not the temperature record, not the predictions, not the agenda, not the solution. I'll have much more to say on this again, as I said, in a few weeks. Be talking to Dr. Michael Kaufman and others about what is honestly the greatest scam, certainly in the 20th and 21st century, and many would say that it is the greatest scam ever, this global warming nonsense. And why on earth the evangelical representatives are jumping on this bandwagon when, in fact, the scientists in England clearly exposed it as a complete fraud and hoax. Well, here's the issue, friends. It isn't about global warming. It isn't about climate change, at least not with the higher power brokers who tried in Copenhagen to sway the world that the entire world must become socialized. I said this 15 years ago before it was the rage. Pollution knows no borders, so let's have no borders. That is what this is about. That is also what this health care fiasco is all about. It's not about changing health care. It's about socializing America. So let us again, and by the way, an interesting quote here from, let's see, quote by Justice Scalia, Supreme Court. He said the other day by day, case by case, he means in the U.S. Supreme Court, we're busy designing a constitution for a country I do not recognize. Well, it is true. In the last year, America has turned into a country that we do not recognize. But please don't despair and give up. Your prayers can still make a difference. All right, my time is about gone for today. Let me just, there was other news I wanted to hit on, but I need a 3-hour program to do all of that efficiently. So what I want to do here, I'll just close with a couple of announcements. First, let me give you a Bible verse or two. This is what I've been encouraging you to do for the last couple of months. The Bible is full of encourage one another. 1 Thessalonians 5:14, encourage the faint-hearted, support the weak, be long-suffering toward all. Of course, Hebrews 10 says, encourage one another, all the more as you see the end appearing. Again, go out and encourage 5 people this week. You will make their day, I promise. Now, all of our stations, and we have several outlets around the country, including Sirius Satellite Radio, replay our program. Check with that station to find out when the replays are. Check their website or give them a call. And AM 980 KKMS, my home station, repeats everything Sunday 12 noon to 2 p.m. Now might be a time when you could go to the telephone and simply call and request that free print newsletter, Understanding the Times. It's free. You also, if you're not in our database, you are a radio listener and you do request it, we send you a free $20 DVD that is very, very inspirational. You'll love it. I promise you that. And again, if you want to tap into the program live, the best way to do that, if you're not in the Twin Cities, you can always tune in Saturday 9 to 11 a.m. Central Time out of Minneapolis, St. Paul. Also, the replay Sunday 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time, KKMS.com. Click on Listen Live. Their audio streaming is greatly upgraded in the last couple of months. Folks, we are living in extraordinary times. There's no question we are a part of what is probably the last generation. Which means what? Are you sharing the gospel more than ever? The two things we can do in this very dark time is encourage one another, contend for the faith, three things, and share the gospel like you've never shared it before. If indeed the time is short, let's not waste it. Let's use it for the kingdom of God and for kingdom building. In the meantime, would you say with the psalmist, in spite of our trials, I trust in you, O Lord. Our times are in your hands. Thank you for listening. We will talk to you next time.
If Jan Markell's radio outreach has helped you understand the times, would you consider a tax-deductible donation to Olive Tree Ministries? You can write to Box 1452, that's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. or call 763-493-3010. 763-493-3010. You also can order and donate safely online at olivetreeviews.org. And thanks for listening to Understanding the Times.